Hello, and welcome to Guidance Unscripted, episode number 6. My name is Elliot Doan. I'm joined by fellow co-anchors David Thompson and Michelle Wilson. And today we have special guest Mr. Aaron Bright with us. Mr. Bright, what would you like to add about yourself?
This is my 25th year at Avon High School and my 10th year teaching dual credit U.S. history, so I've been around a while.
You've seen some things.
I've seen a lot of changes.
Absolutely. And I personally had the pleasure of having Mr. Bright as a teacher freshman year back when I was here. And it is he's a very good teacher and very good experience. So you may not want to hear that, but I'm going to let it be known.
I was curious in this after hearing it. Do you remember having him in class?
Not a bit.
I wondered if you would remember
That's
him.
That's a good
if
thing.
If he stuck out or if it was just, okay.
I tried to stay below the radar.
There's two types of students you remember. One of them's good, one of them's bad.
Yes.
I think I'm in the healthy part of the bell curve.
But he doesn't remember him at all, so what's that say?
All right, so we specifically wanted to have Mr. Bright on today because, number one, he has great experience working here with the school, but number two, he teaches a VU American History class, which is a class that is taken by primarily juniors, and we wanted to just discuss some of the ins and outs of that program and the requirements for VU. Just to let parents know, Vincennes University is a dual credit opportunity for students, which means that they are able to earn high school and college credit at the same time. Primary requirement to get into the class is either qualifying PSAT scores in reading and writing or the AccuPlacer. So if you're able to meet those requirements, and you know, we also look at English grades and writing skills to get into the course, but if that's a good fit for you, this will check the academic honors requirement box, which states that students need dual credits and or AP credits or combination of the two. So that box itself says you need either 6 college credits that are transcripted, 2 AP courses with corresponding tests, or a combination of the two. And because of our partnership with Vincennes, this class actually offers all 6 of those credits. So this is a very easy way for students to check that box.
Yep. Good info, Elliot. So Mr. Bright, let's go ahead and dive into the questions, hitting it hard right off the bat. What do students need to know / do in your class to be successful? And specifically, I think essays are where a lot of our students struggle. So what's your take on that? What can students do?
The first part of it is they need to come in with the right mindset that this isn't college prep. It's a college class. The high school credit is checked off easy enough, but you're also going to be able to pick up 3 credit hours of college history credit per semester. And that sounds good on paper, and it is a good deal because you can pick it up very, very cheap, and you can get a lot done. And depending on what your major is, you may be done with college history after this course. But what a lot of times kids come in and they don't understand what the college workload is going to be like. They don't understand how intense the college workload can be, especially compared to high school. And so they come in with expectations that are lighter than what it is as far as the reading and writing. Part of why those qualifying PSAT scores are there is we want to make sure everybody sitting in the seats can read or write, and those scores do that. And then my job is to take whatever level of reading and writing skills they have and to push that and make them better. And the only way you're going to get bigger, faster, stronger, better in those ways is doing a rigorous coursework, rigorous load. So what I struggle with each fall is getting people broken, accustomed to that, getting them, and then they have to learn to play that game or to up their game quite a bit from what they've been asked to do as a freshman or a sophomore particularly. And it's kind of an uphill battle in a way because they're being asked to perform at a college level and they're still a junior in high school and there's some maturity issues and things like that, and they aren't there yet in some ways, but this is to help them get there. So part of my job is to give them a good inoculation to what college is going to be like. If they can come in and perform well, A or B level in this class, I think they're going to be almost assured of being able to make it through and get that 4-year degree in 4.5 years, which is, you know, less and less common for people to get a 4-year degree in less than 5 years. And that's just so the mindset. There's a culture shock of I didn't think it was this tough. I didn't think there was this much involved. Mm-hmm. You know, the amount of reading and the level of reading. For example, the textbook we use is probably a senior level and high school reading level, whereas in regular U.S. history, it's probably an 8th grade reading level is where it is. I mean, if you go do the readability test, and that's part of that culture shock that I'm talking about, is like, they're like, well, this is hard. And it is harder than what you're accustomed, but it's just the beginning of what's going to happen. You know, your sophomore year, your junior year of college, it's going to intensify whatever field you're in. Mm-hmm. And so there's always a bit of a struggle, and there's an adjustment period every fall for people to get on board and see how to prepare and so forth. And they say study or prepare for tests and things. They don't have any idea what they're in for yet, you know. And as much as we say this is a college course, and it is, because it's got to meet certain standards or the Higher Learning Commission won't allow it to be accredited, so we have to make sure the rigor is there. And there's certain things I have to do as the instructor to make sure we live up to. But it's still college-like because we're in a high school setting, you know, and that's something. What's going to happen down the road in a 200 level college history class, it's going to intensify even more and quite a bit more. So I've got the problem of getting people to up their game, getting people to perform at this higher level so that down the road they're going to be successful. You know, I'll say tonight at back to school night, you know, one of my jobs to the parents is, my job is, if your kid does well in this class, that they're prepared for college and they don't flunk out their freshman year and are living in your basement for the next 7 or 8 years, you know, because I've got a lot of friends, they took that route.
Yeah.
And that happens a lot. And it's just, it's not that they're not smart enough, but they don't have the study skills, the note-taking skills, and sometimes it's the work effort. And managing time. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. managing time. If you're an athlete, or if you're in the band, and you're doing other extracurriculars, and you're working a job, and you're dealing with AP and dual credit classes, time management is as big a challenge as there is. And I try to tell them, hey, your life's complicated, and you're busy now, and it's going to get nothing but worse. You know, college level, and then you get married, you have a job, you have a family. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get easier to find time to get things done. So time management is another big thing. Trying the last couple of years to do a lot more coaching on how to go about those things, as well as saying that it's got to be done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So great answer.
Yeah, you kind of hit on what our next question was, you know. We have a lot of kids that come down and, oh, this is too difficult. I'm stressed out. It's too much work. What is your response to that?
It is difficult, is accurate, but what is too difficult is a total different thing. There isn't anybody, we're 2.5 weeks in, there isn't anybody left in my seats who don't have the PSAT scores that say they can read and write. They can do it. Now, whether you want to do it or not, whether you want to put in that time, that's a different statement altogether. And if you're going to be successful, everybody's going to graduate from high school. I have in class, that's not even in doubt. But if you're going to go on and get your degree, your college degree, that level of work is going to have to be put in, and it's just the way that it is. And so they can do it. Now, we run into a number of people who aren't prepared to do it for whatever reason, their mm-hmm. fault, my fault, nobody's fault, as far as they don't really know how to do it. And I spend a lot of time with the people that seek help learning how to do it, how to read, how to take notes over their reading. You know, and some people are like, I've never taken notes over my reading. Well, it's time to start. Mm-hmm. And how do you do that? You know, how do you take a 30 or 40 page reading assignment and get it down to make it more manageable and to know what's there? You know, another thing that we always hear, well, I can read it, but I don't remember it, or I don't comprehend it. Well, that comprehension is a part of the reading. If you read it and you don't know where you've been, what you've got there in front of you, it didn't really count as far as reading. So that's a big part of it. The people who stay, the people who are there at the end of the semester, who don't transfer classes or drop the class, I've got a 94% rate over the 10 years on those people getting the college credit. So it can be done, and part mm-hmm. of it is learning the process. And I've had top 25 students melt down. I don't get B's. You just did. You can. but I don't want bees. Well, here's how we got to do different. And then they do things differently. We adjust their approach, and they can be successful there. But it comes back to that first thing, mindset. It is tough. It's supposed to be tough. College is a little – high school, our job is to get everybody through and help them get started. College's job is they weed out people and put out people that are going to be confident and can get results in that field. You know that, and so that's kind of a little different thing. And I don't look at my job here as weeding people out here. I try to give the best preparation I can for them to be able to go out there on their own, because a lot of times in that college course – the professor's not necessarily on your side.
Right.
If he's like, you know, the nursing program, my daughter just went through that. Anatomy's the weed out class. That professor's assigned. You're going to weed out the people that can't make it, so we don't spend time there. So this is not a weed out class, but this is how survival guide to down the road to those weed out classes in whatever major you're in. So if you're going to college in this building, you should be taking. And I think this class has some advantages over AP, but I'm in the minority on that. But you should be in one of those two places, because it's going to run you through that gauntlet. Mm-hmm. There, where you survive this gauntlet, you've got a good chance of surviving the one down the road. So it is tough. And what I would say to those people, come and seek help.
Yeah.
I frequently get the question, where do I get a tutor? You don't. This guy that that works in A202 is your best tutor. The guy that wrote the quiz, wrote the test, is going to be grading the thing. That's the brain you need to pick. Seek help, and seek help before it's too late.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't make that easy on them. You come in and say, I don't know what to do. Well, you need to do something here before I can help you improve how to write these essays, how to study for these reading quizzes, things like this. So seeking help and learning how to play the game is the first thing there, you know. And it's kind of like a hockey game. It can be a little intense, but the class has an ebb and flow to it. We ramp up to a quiz, we got a little bit of a break, we ramp up to the test, then the next unit you're doing the same thing as far as that goes. So it's not a constant grinding pressure, but if you spend 10 or 15 minutes a day working on this class outside of class time, that'll add up in the unit, and you'll be in good shape. Hmm. And everybody's got the 10 or 15 minutes a day. They just have to find a way to sit down and be focused. And if they come in with a growth mindset that I'm going to get better at reading and writing and taking notes and thinking critically, then they can. And I will help them do that. And everybody that makes it or even gets close to making it, they're better at those things at the end of each semester, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and the growth is always obvious.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not as much as you wanted, mm-hmm. or even may they have wanted, but the growth is there and the progress. That's kind of rewarding to be able to see that.
Yeah, yeah, obviously. I love that you mentioned the growth mindset, and that's something we talk about a lot, is that, you know, you mentioned kids get the culture shock. They get that first bad grade, or they're in the class for a few days and everything seems wildly different from what they're used to. You know, they don't have, you know, homework every two nights and little things here and there. It's a lot more independence, and you lay everything out for them and kind of give them the keys to be successful or to choose to not do things. So mentioning that growth, what kind of growth do you see in terms of your students developing better study strategies over the course of the year?
This is going into the 10th year of this class here, and every semester, but we have three essay tests in a semester, and by the time you're getting around to the third one, you know, 75 or 80% of students, you see a mass amount of growth. They know how to play. Their language starts to talk differently. They're understanding significance and impact finally, and they're making that. It can be deafening when you hand that test out, everybody sits down, and the only sound you hear are pencils scratching on the paper. It's almost a roar. You get 32 people just scratching them out to try to get it done in the deadline, and as opposed to sitting there contemplating, thinking, how am I going to do this? What should I write? You know, they come in, they know, they're prepared, they've got it, and they get there. And sometimes even some students who end up down there with a C- or down in that level that just kind of barely make it, or maybe even a D+ and don't quite make it, I've had them talk to me after being in class and say, you know, I made this improvement, I wouldn't even know what these subjects or what this was when I see it in the newspaper if it wasn't for class. So that's very rewarding as far as that. And I usually get some feedback from parents or students every year. Hey, finally made it to college. You were right. I should have done this, this, and this a little bit more. You know, it's every bit as bad as you told me it was.
Yeah.
And so it's there. The growth is fun to see each semester. Mm-hmm. It's just the fall's always tough, kind of breaking in a new crowd, getting there. It's like I've been over it 10 times, but this is all new to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so you fight that zing battle again, but we typically get it done for the most part, and that's a good thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So kind of going along, I mean, sticking with the parents and students viewpoint, I think as counselors we see for a majority of the semester students are sitting at a D or an F, you know, I would say over a third of this semester, depending on how they do on that mm-hmm. first mm-hmm. quiz, that first test. What is your response to those parents and students who are looking at that grade and maybe they're having a little bit of a freak out moment? You know, what do you say to those students or parents?
Don't dig a big hole at the beginning would be nice, you know, and I've been preaching that for 2 weeks up there, and I'm going to keep next week. You know, if you could start out strong, then you're not sitting there and you're not digging out of that hole. That's a good start mm-hmm. is a big part of that. The other thing is there's only 10 grades in the whole semester. I mean, including the final exam and some things. And that's a big adjustment because a lot of times in a geography or a world history class, there might be 25 or 30 or 40 grades that are taken. And so you don't have the assessments, the formative assessments to come in, the little homeworks to prop things up. This class is 95% assessment. It's 95% from a quiz or a test. The only traditional homework or assessment thing is the journal, and that's not graded until the very end. It's a semester long thing that's not graded till the end. Lots of things come in at the end as far as this goes, so it can sit there, and that can be a frustrating part of it. And if I bomb the first test and then I do well on the second test, those two are just averaged out in there, so it doesn't jump up drastically, but we're headed in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in this first test, like, it's possible somebody get a D plus 68% and they just barely really missed being a B plus as far as this goes. And that's a hard thing to get their head around because they made the same little mistake on all six essay topics. And so that adds up to, it wasn't very good. But if we make this one correction and they do that right next time, now they're at a B plus. Were they really a D plus? Well, according to the rubric, yes. In the grand scheme of things, they had a little more on the ball to that. Now we average that out.
Mm-hmm.
Number of years ago, an administrator said, well, that learning curve can't be fatal. So what I did was I put in a replacement grade for that. But the replacement grade has to be earned. So we do a simulation where the individual students earn that grade. And so they may have an A or B sitting there on that, but they won't get it until the end of the semester because they can't have any zeros. They have to live up to the rest of the course expectations. So if that first test is a D plus and then they get A's and B's on everything after that, it's still pulling them down. Then at the end, what I do is they tell me where they want that replacement grade to go. And since they have a semester long track record of getting the job done, it goes in. You know, so I could fail the first test badly. Let's say a 30%, and then I've got this B plus sitting over here. It goes in at the end. So there's a jump at the end, but I don't put it in early because I don't want them to just prop that grade up artificially. We want to fix the problem. We want to get things going. I want them to demonstrate for 18 weeks I've been making a good effort, and then I can forgive or help out with that, you know. And we don't do, you know, a lot of times you get extra credit in classes and things to try to just, well, make up for it. Well, it'll make up for it. At the end of the semester, their grade will be an accurate reflection of what they know about history and how well they can read and write on the topic by the end. And it takes into account the improvement that comes on. Mm-hmm. The other thing is the final exam in this class is 25%. And that's a lot more than in most places because in a 100 level history class on at IU or Butler or at Purdue, your whole grade would probably be about three grades, a final, a midterm, and a paper. You know, and we're not quite ready to put all our eggs in that one basket here. So we've got 10 grades. We got a number of tests. We got a quiz. We got a test a month, essentially, is the way it breaks down, and four reading quizzes along the way. So it's a lot less numbers. So it makes those more intense. You know, what's the big, in geography, we take 25 quizzes. What's the big deal if I fail two or three? Nothing.
Right.
It just doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. We got four quizzes and I failed two of them. It's a problem, as far as that percent. So they've got to show improvement right away. Mm-hmm. And it comes down to seeking that help early. And I get those parent calls too. And you're like, well, my daughter's got a D and I'm worried about this. Well, good, be worried about it, but make sure they're doing their stuff here. And hey, the last 2 weeks, this test, things seem to be going in the right direction. She's doing better. I think it's going to be okay at the end. I can't promise or guarantee that, but it's there. A lot of things happen in the fall semester, the month of November. You kind of cement where you are. We got that warm-up period. We got to learn how to play the game, and a D or F right out of the gate, it should be a wake-up call right away. So what do we got to do? And then by the time we get that second and third test in and we're into the last unit, things are kind of cemented and have a better idea. But that replacement grade, sometimes people are so strong it doesn't affect anything. And I've had it bump people sometimes 11%, because their first test was so bad, but they figured it out and this, they went well. So, they go from a B to an A minus or a B plus, or it can happen. And it just depends on each student's grades and how that goes. As far as that, so if they start out with lower grade than they want, they need to get in. Hey, what's going on? Sit down. We go over the test. We hand them back. They look at the comments, but sometimes they need an individual meeting to really get it so they know what to fix. Mm-hmm. And then they got to remember to fix it the next time around. Not make the same mistake two or three times. I've had students say at the end of the semester, "Hey, I know we're 10 days away. What can I do?" Well, after you failed all three tests and all four quizzes,
Where was that effort the last 17 weeks of the semester?
Yeah, comment sooner. And I put that in my first week soapbox speech I give them about seek help and seek it at the right time. Mm-hmm. And then we can do some things as far as that goes.
Yeah. So seeking help. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Seeking help early and not being afraid to ask. Mm-hmm. I know last semester I even took one of my students up to you and originally she was a little afraid, but mm-hmm. we went up there and she was like, even if I don't get the C minus or higher, I'm going to get through this commitment and I'm going to stick with it. And, I think that there's a lot of life learning lessons beyond just, preparing and earning the credit for high school, but then getting that college credit. There's lots of different time management skills, learning skills that are going to be helpful to help students.
Well, and if history's not your thing and you're going to get that 4-year degree, get it done here and now.
Yeah.
Avoid that. Don't you get that credit, you can check that box off and you don't have to deal with it in a more stressful environment and so forth. Because people think I'm rigorous or stubborn and hard to get along with, and I'm all
first I've heard of it.
I'm all of those things, but they haven't seen anything yet. When you get that college professor that's absent-minded and rides his bike to where it doesn't really live in the real world, it's going to get a lot worse, as far as that goes. And the other thing is, we've got a wide spectrum of political views that come through that room down the road on campus. A big part of that game is not only reading and writing at the right level, but figuring out what the professor wants to hear. I don't have that problem. If I don't agree politically with the argument being made or presented, that's irrelevant to me. I'm just thrilled that we're making it and backing it up with facts and things. But if history is a subject you like avoid and you're like, I don't want to take a college class in high school, I'll wait till later. In a lot of ways later, it's going to be more of a challenge because it's going to be as rigorous and you get the extra weird factor from the professors out there. So good luck
with that. It's funny that you mentioned the cost too, because while you were speaking on that, I looked up how much it costs to per credit hour at Vincennes, and for the 6-credit course, You're looking at over $1,100, and I think our kids pay a maximum of, what is it, 75?
It's 25 a credit hour per semester. So for $150, if you were going to Vincennes, it would be there. If you were going to IU or Purdue, it's probably $300 or more per credit hour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you could be a 900 to 1100 for each semester. You know. So, I mean, the cost savings is tremendous. And it transferability is a factor on some things, but even if the GPA doesn't transfer, a lot of times the general studies or as a requirement or a history credit will, and you know, just the saving money, every dual credit class you can take or every AP exam you can pass financially is going to save you down the road. Student loan debt is a big factor there. So I mean, yeah,
exactly. I remember going into Ball State, I had 26 credits, which was huge. It saved me from having to do two minors instead of just doing the one that I did. So definitely it's the cheapest college credit you'll ever get. And I'm glad that you brought up transferring credits, because that was a piece that we wanted to talk about. And so to transfer those credits, you do have to actually contact Vincennes and have them send those transcripts. That's not something that we include on the transcripts that we send to colleges. So once your son or daughter gets to senior year and you're thinking about that and you're getting towards the end of senior year, you'll want to contact them and have them send those over as well. So you make sure that
you'll have an
actual
college transcript, and that credit will transfer as such, you know. And it's just, and there's no extra charge for those transcripts to be provided, I don't believe, you know. So they do a really good job with that.
Yeah.
You talked a little bit about kids seeking help. What's the best way to go about that? What times are you available for students, just to kind of let parents and students hear it on here, so that, you know, when they're telling us, well, I don't have time to meet with Mr. Bright, right, or he doesn't have time to, what's that look like for you?
The best time for me is early. I'm usually at school early, and I can, if I'm not going to be, I can, you know, pre-arrange. Or if before school doesn't work, I can stay after school. I don't really like to, but I can. If I know, you know, and I can schedule other things around it, you know, it's not a big deal. We can get a lot of things done in a 15 or 20 minute conversation, it seems, one-on-one, even if it's the same thing we've talked about previously. So before school, you know, I'm usually here by 7:15, and we don't have class till 8 o'clock. They can let me know they're coming. I can let them in a door or whatever. After school, I can do that. SRT is available around test time. It always gets popular and crowded. You know, as far as that, those after school is a possibility, but I pre-arrange there more because I've got all the kinds of things to do.
Yeah.
But just self-advocate. Just let me know. Send me an email. Stop by and talk to me. And then that also shows you're making a good effort. And that and that helps. That helps be a little more understanding. Hey, I'm trying to get in here, and even if I have to say, hey, I can't, it's going to be 2 days before I can stay after school, keep that in mind, you know. And part of that's being timely. Don't ask the day,
right?
It can't all be done the day before the test, you know.
Yeah,
you know, the week or 2 weeks leading up to it are more critical than even the day before.
Well, and hopefully students are preparing for a test more than just a day in advance, which is a skill that we want them to pick up on.
So Yeah,
I think that was all really good information. I'm excited for parents and students to have this. Students who are sophomores going into junior year next year, I think that this will be beneficial. And then all of our students who are currently in VU, I hope that they find some useful information, and hopefully that'll kind of change how the beginning of the semester starts for you and, you know, how it ends. But, yeah, I think good information. So, for all of us here at Guidance Unscripted, we're ready to wrap up. We are Avon. We are one.